Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatos.
I don't know how many times, but the reason he's here today, among other things, is that he is an author of a great, great, and relatively new book called According to Plan, The Elite's Secret Plan to Sabotage America. This is what it looks like. And yes, I ordered it off of Amazon, and you can too. In fact, I have this version, and I got the version that is on my Kindle, and both of them are just, it is a great, great read. Before we turn to talking with Kevin, I want to introduce him a little more. He is a CFA, is considered one of the world's leading experts on economic warfare and financial terrorism. And he hosts a show, his own podcast called Economic War Room. And he is he's consulted around the world, briefed people in Congress, the intelligence community, the SEC, the Departments of Defense, Homeland Security, and Justice on his extensive search on the global economic warfare. And the reason this really matters is when I will tell you that when I first met him, we've known them for years, this idea of economic warfare didn't seem like a real thing, or it seemed kind of a side issue, you know, that sometimes foreign powers try to do something to us and maybe we do things back to them. But he has really helped America and the world really wake up to the astonishing consequences of economic warfare being engaged in at all sorts of levels that many of us probably never even thought about until really exposed by Kevin Freeman and explained in great detail. So this book, this new one, is According to Plan. He is also the author of a previous book, which called Secret Weapon. I think it's the first time I said Secret Weapon. Became a New York Times bestseller, and it has a second book called Game Plan, an Amazon bestseller. So he brings his extensive knowledge of economics to the issue of defending America from economic warfare. Please help me welcome to the show, Kevin Freeman.
Thank you, Debbie. You have such a great audience, and it's fun to see the people here live. It really is. It's a very special experience.
Well, I'm glad you could be here. I love the audience, too. Just so fun to have. Well, I will tell you, I do want to talk about this book, and as I will tell you, as you can see with the extensive stickies, I have a lot of places I want to go with it. But I wanted to start overall, really the most genuine compliment. I actually am fairly wonky, and I will read a lot of really detailed things that most people would find boring, but this is so well written. This is well written for somebody who's, and the reason I wanted to comment about that is, you could read this and really grasp the points you're making without having an extensive deep interest in economics, an economics background, or even really a political orientation, because your ability to take in and describe historically what has happened with totalitarian tyrant-type people who want to control the world, how they think, how communists think. You walk through things. I mean, you're left with the overall impression of what's happening in America is very alarming, but you lay it out in really simple terms, and the title is brilliant, According to Plan, which we're going to talk about a bunch of times, because a lot of what we watch happening in America, people think, well, the government didn't mean to have that outcome. It was an accidental, or it was collateral damage. And you make the point that what we are watching, which is really the economic and Marxist takedown of America, is according to plan. It's a brilliant book. It's a book you should give, my happy listeners, you should give to people for Christmas who don't necessarily understand anything about politics. Just hand it to them and say, after you read this, we can talk. Okay.
Well, I'm so grateful you said that. The point of the book is to connect the dots. And we designed it so you can get a buy one, get one free at accordingtoplanbook.com/EWR for Economic War Room. And we designed it so you could get a copy to read and a copy to share, because the average person sees something happening in Afghanistan and they say, oh, wow, we just really blew that, or the border, or taxes, or inflation, or, you know, any of 100 different topics. And I'll say, well, you know, it just happened by accident, or it's incompetence, or maybe it's according to plan. And what we try to do is lay out in the book that the plan did call for what's going to happen, and it has happened as they called for it. And we try and do it in a way to help the reader. I learned this in psychology class. If I were to tell you A equals C, using a mathematical equation, A equals C, you got to believe me. You'll say, well, I don't know if I believe that, and you'll push back. But if I use this approach and say A equals B and B equals C, I wonder what that means about A and C. You're going to immediately jump to A equals C, and I can't talk you out of it at that point. And that's what the book is designed to do, is to help our friends who are good people that just don't see what's going on around us destroying our nation. They, you know, all right, Republicans win, Democrats win, you know, things. No, no. This is a planned, perpetrated takedown of America by the enemies of the United States, not just one, and they're not totally coordinated. Sometimes they work together, sometimes they don't. But they hate America because America stands for individual liberty. And by standing for individual liberty, we stand against their totalitarian control.
Exactly. Perfectly said. Yeah, I love it. I will tell you one thing in the book that I like that you did. First of all, the intro or the foreword by Ben Carson was also really good. I mean, Dr. Ben Carson, who it was great. But I love that you made this analogy early on to George Orwell's writing and Animal Farm and the pigs. And because most people in America, or many people, have read that book, and plus it's a great, almost a double entendre explaining who these people are, but the use of the people throughout history, and you run through, I will just briefly tell our listeners, you run through the Soviet Union, Communist China, people historically who've had the agenda of just totalitarian control, the kind of communist mindset, and this agenda that has existed in America at least since the close of World War II, where you have the American Communist Party saying, yep, this is what we plan on doing, here's how we're going to do it. And you're watching a plan be executed, and because they don't announce it and put it on the front page of the New York Times, people don't see it. So I love your point about connecting the dots. But then the other piece of it is, and I want to get into a lot, is, but they're getting a lot of help internally from America, from Americans, some Americans, and America. So I guess I want to start with that. I want to tell our listeners, I do realize we have a massive issue breaking in the news all the time about FTX. And it's such a big story that I want to promise you we're going to get to FTX, because it is a huge story and enormous consequence to America. But I do want to focus on your book. So this idea of, I mean, this is the reason I, among many reasons, I just love this book, is because I think that people, I think the vast core of Americans, they want America as it's supposed to be. They want America the free. They want America the just. They want equal opportunity, and they buy into arguments that will take away their freedom, and they don't even know it. First, do you agree with that?
Oh, 100%.
So talk about that a little bit. How have the communist agenda, how has it seeped its way into American society?
Well, you know, first off, people will say, oh, come on, you're a conspiracy theorist. So right. I will challenge them to Google the term 45 goals of the Communist Party USA, and you will find a 1,000 sources for it, because it was entered into the congressional record in 1963. So I was 2 years old when this was put in by a Florida congressman. Before that, it was written in the book The Naked Communist in 1958, I think, by Dr. W. Cleon Skousen, who wrote The 5,000-Year Leap. That is a man I knew. When I was in high school, my dad drugged me around because he was the Oklahoma director for the National Center of Constitutional Studies, NCCS, also known as the Freeman Institute. And Dr. Skousen thought it was just perfect to have my dad, Kerry Freeman, heading up the Freeman Institute in Oklahoma. So I got to sit through his lectures 100 times. And I got to fill in the blank on the miracle of America and the making of America and all of that. And he would continuously refer to this document that he had, the 45 goals of the Communist Party USA. And yet, when you read them today, you say those aren't goals. Those could be the 45 accomplishments of the communists. Capture one or both of the political parties is one. Another one is degrade art. Make art no longer meaningful and patriotic and beautiful. Make it meaningless. Make it ugly.
Pornographic.
And we've seen that happen with art. Pornographic. Infiltrate the schools, remove prayer from schools, all of these things that have been accomplished, make it so Hollywood is infiltrated by homosexuality and that every program has to feature homosexual actors and actresses. There's, again, repeatedly examples of that happening. So it's not a goal of the Communist Party any longer, it's an accomplishment.
That is such a good point. And actually, for our listeners, this is one of the many pages I had marked, because it really does make your point. You're right. You said a moment ago, well, people who are conservatives say, we're watching, I use the expression on my show, we're watching the slow Marxist takedown of America. This is what is happening right in front of our eyes. And I've been saying that a while. I will say maybe 10 years ago when I would say things like that, people in the audience would look puzzled, like, what is she talking about? But I do think more people are waking up, and still millions are unaware. But you're spelling it out. Page 72, you have this book, is spelling out what you just described. The Communist Party actually looked at America, the communist movement in the world, and thought, we're never going to take them down militarily. We're not going to defeat America, but we can destroy their culture from within, and went through a list of things which are now happening right in front of us.
Racial tensions, Black Lives Matter, you can trace some of the funding. You've had guests, Trevor Loudon and others, they can trace it back to the Chinese Communist Party. You can go back in the 1930s and see documents where they intend to stoke racial tensions in America. It wasn't that long ago that you had Morgan Freeman on television talking to 60 Minutes, I think it was, and he said, you know what, race isn't a problem anymore. We've kind of overcome that. Well, that was, 15, 20 years ago. Now, of course, race is a massive problem, and you're afraid to say anything. You don't joke anything. You don't do anything because you'll be called a racist.
Yeah.
20 years ago, that was extinguished in American life, and yet it's been brought back, and it was brought back by the Communist Party.
It's a stellar example. It's a great, great example. There was another, you mentioned, you probably talked about this too in your show, Manning Johnson, who was Black American, got sucked in by the Communist Party and became American Communist Party, was a spokesperson telling it the future of America, the future of is communism. And then he realized after, I don't know how long, a decade or more, realized they were just using him. They didn't care at all about inequality or concerns of the black community. He was just a tactic for them to attack America.
Well, that was before our lifetime, Manning Johnson was, but in our lifetime, Eldridge Cleaver, another person I knew. He was a Black Panther. He was number two in the Black Panther. My father introduced him to him. He was really extreme radical in California. He left the country, lived in Cuba, lived in Russia, came back and said, this is a lie. And he said he'd given his life to Christ, and he started changing. He believed in capitalism and free markets and the Constitution. He eventually actually became a Mormon, but he said, I reject all of communism. It is a complete lie. And yet he was the head of the Black Panthers. People today hear Black Panther and they think of the Wakanda Forever in the Marvel movie. There were really a terrorist group known as the Black Panthers that was before Black Lives Matter, that was causing riots and all sorts of trouble here in America. And he was number two in the organization, and he realized it was a complete lie.
That's an amazing story. I did not know you knew all these people, these really profound historical figures. That's very fun, very, very exciting. Back to your book at the beginning, very quickly. You mentioned some people in the start, which I think are, people in America, we tend to take our country at face value. We take politicians, they say they believe X. We think, well, okay, they believe X, they believe Y. No one likes to think they're being played or manipulated, but really what you bring out in this book so well is we get led along, Americans get led along by promises and, expressions of concerns of social justice, expressions of some other concern, which most people tug at your heartstrings. Of course, I'm in favor of justice. Who could be against that? But when you recognize it is a pulling of the strings of American society, and that has roots all the way back. I mean, you do a great job talking about George Soros, who's, the original bad guy. But you also talk about other people who, Yuval Harari, which is in the whole Great Reset. This is all intellectually tied together, connected by dots. You connect the dots to get to this point. This is a movement, an unspoken international movement targeting America to cause us to stop believing in our country and our freedom.
Does anybody really believe that when Barack Obama says, I believe marriage is between one man and one woman, that's what he believed at the time? Absolutely not, but he lied to the American people. Or if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. These are continual, repeated lies to tell us what we want to hear, and then gaining power then to implement their Marxist strategy.
You know, I think it was a really hard thing, especially for Americans, to criticize Barack Obama because he was the first black president, because he had a very friendly demeanor. My tentacles of suspicion went up when he first was speaking. There's something that I didn't like, I didn't trust. But for many people, he was, you know, he is eloquent. He is spoke with passion. He spoke in uplifting terms, and he really was, and maybe you don't think this, but he really was the one who kind of normalized Marxist thinking at a national level in America. Maybe there were others, but that's how I see him.
He has a communication ability that the current president, his vice president, does not maintain.
Yeah. But most people, that's true, most people are better communicators than our current.
But he really was smooth and good. He still is. And yet, on day one of the Trump presidency, they opened an office in Washington, D.C. that was titled Resist. And they had an entire plan to take down the existing president. Now, if we did that when Joe Biden was elected, if we had done that, they would call us seditionists.
Yes.
They would attack us for that. He's very smooth and very powerful. But most of them are. Patrice Cullors and all those of Black Lives Matter. They don't tell you that their point is that they want to get enough money so they can live super well and they can be loved and adored by the media and build big houses with the money that's donated as Marxists. A Marxist shouldn't want to have a big house, right? They should want to share everything. No, that's not true. They are Marxists and they're elites, and that's why I call them pigs, and I really struggled with calling them pigs. I know the Orwell analogy, but I prayed over it because there's a passage in the Bible, in Acts, where Paul comes along and he calls one guy, he says, "You're whitewashed," and he was gonna say SOB or something, and he gets interrupted. And when he gets interrupted, the person says, "Do you realize that's the high priest?" And the Apostle Paul backs up and says, "I did not know, I apologize. Because the Bible said, you shall not speak ill of a ruler of your people." And so I'm like, I can't say Nancy Pelosi's a pig and all, I can't do it. And and then I realized, wait, they're not rulers. They're servants in America. We the people are the rulers. We put a constitution in place and they're office holders under the constitution serving the people. And the Bible's perfectly clear that you can call out a wicked servant. And that's what we did.
I, you know, you made that point in the book, and I love that point. We are the sovereign. The people are the sovereign in America. I love that. You know, you talk a bit about, I'd love to have you elaborate on it in this book, about how, you know, when Marxists and socialists and communists spew out what they believe, they're always talking about equality, making things fair, and they just, the message is very alluring to people, especially if you're impoverished. You think, oh, they're going to help, you know, kind of make things more even. But just elaborate a little bit, tell some of the stories you did about early on in other countries, how the Marxists, the communists, they're never living like the people they are governing.
Perfect example is Hugo Chavez in Venezuela actually did grow up poor. I looked in his background, he actually was poor, his parents were poor, and he wanted to get in, and he claimed he wanted to get in and bring equality or equity. When he died in a pseudo-communist state, at least a socialist state, he left a fortune worth maybe $4 or $5 billion to his daughter, who's one of the richest women in the world, and certainly among the richest in Latin America. And how did she inherit that when all he did was public service? His entire lifetime was public service. Where did he make that money? Of course he made it by stealing it from the people, like all tyrants and all dictators do. The rest of us suffer underneath. This is nothing other than a medieval feudal system that Karl Marx came up with, and he came up with, he looked and he said, I'm not willing to work hard enough to become wealthy and successful. I don't want to put that much effort into it. What I really want is I want to be among the haves versus the have-nots. How can I get there? And he said, you know what? We'll create class warfare and they'll love me and they'll put me in that haves. The guy was a dirtbag, living off of his friend's family's money. He didn't believe in any equality. He wanted him in a superior position.
Actually, yeah, there are books about Marx. I'm sure you've interviewed different authors written recently about Marx. He was a mess and a cruel human being. just, I mean, people elevate Marxism. Well, he must have been this noble intellectual thinker. He was not at all. He hadn't worked in his life. He was a bum.
He was a bum.
That's a good word. That's a nicer word than I was thinking. So I will tell you. So back to this whole idea about America, because I think that right now it seems to have reached a crescendo or something. I mean, we are watching in my view, the Biden administration, which I see as a third term of the Obama administration, because it's just Biden carrying out the kind of Obama tendencies. It really seems like it's come to the fore more, that more of the left is willing to identify pretty straight out with a Marxist agenda. You only have a few people in Congress who will say that they're members of the Democrat Socialist Party, but we are watching the Marxist agenda take over the Democrat Party. It is the Democrat Party. You wrote really well about that. Let me have you just describe a little bit how Marxism invaded and then actually became today's Democrat Party.
Well, no matter what you think of John F. Kennedy, he was not a communist. He absolutely was not a communist. He believed in lowering taxes. He believed in a strong American military. He hated communism. We call him a dino in the book because he's actually not a dino. He is a true Democrat. We call everyone who's come since, like Barack Obama, like Joe Biden, they're dinos. They're Democrats in name only. They don't really believe in democracy. They really don't. And by the way, we, of course, do not have a democracy. The democracy is mob rule, 51%, and you literally take over everything and control everything. We have a republic, a democratic republic. We elect representatives. But we've had, historically, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, and both of them loved America. And you could even see labor unions that would fight with America for freedom. And you can go back even in the 1940s, where you would see what you would say, you know, these are mob type people fighting for America because they loved America. Not today. We don't have Barack Obama was seen with a book that he carried that was about after America. It was after America. I can't remember the title of it specifically, but he carried that around. These people do not believe in America in any way having an ascendant position. They're all sold out to the World Economic Forum. They're all sold out to Klaus Schwab's vision, which is a Marxist vision. And America is just one among many nations. We're no longer exceptional. And so they are actually trying to land the plane softly into communism. They're trying to bring it down. And Jimmy Carter was the same way. He wanted to take us into socialism. He said the Soviet Union was going to beat us. He essentially said that. He didn't say we're going to win. That's why Reagan made such a splash. He said, I've got a rule for the Cold War. We win, they lose. How about that?
Yep. Tell me why. I mean, you elaborate so well in the book on this, but why is it that the communist movement in the world, I mean, you have many players, but either they're leaders of countries that are communist or socialist. Why is America, why the determination to focus on America, to take America down? Why can't they let America be America and they can be communist somewhere else?
America is the target because America is exceptional. And I got to be careful to define exceptional. This is something that we picked up from Rush Limbaugh. I had a researcher brought it to me and said, Rush Limbaugh defined America's exceptionalism very uniquely. And it's the way our founders would have seen it. America is not exceptional because our people are better. How can our people be better than the rest of the world when we are the rest of the world? Go into any city and you see people from around the world there. That's who makes up America. America is exceptional because we believe in individual liberty. And that is unique. That is where the individual has value and purpose. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness at the individual level, not the collectivist level. And I'll give you one example that makes America exceptional, and it's both theoretically and practically. In the original Constitution, it wrote that the Congress would grant patent rights to inventors. And the first patent law was signed by George Washington. Mm-hmm. And it said he, she, or they could invent something and have patent protection. So this is the first use of pronouns here, right? He, she, and they. But what's key in that is it meant that an individual could be female or male. Only two choices there, he, she, and they. But a female could invent something and should have patent protection. This is before women had the right to vote, but they can invent something. Why is that so important? The British science societies of the day dominated scientific thinking, and they were all collectivists. And so If you disagreed with them, you got no funding, you got no opportunity. In the United States, we've had tendencies to go that direction a time or two. And in the early 1900s, the greatest scientist of the day from the Scientific Society was out presenting a paper that man would never fly at the same time Orville and Wilbur were piloting at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. The science societies, the collective wisdom, is often wrong. The individual creator, entrepreneur, is right. And that's why on your show, when you broke that incredible Dr. Bartlett's silver bullet for COVID, the society said he was wrong, and yet look how much the individual, how many lives the individual saved. The ability to have dissent against the scientific community, the technocrats, is what made America exceptional. They hate that about America, and you'll see that's one of the very first things that leftists and progressives want to eliminate is thinking by individual people. That's what makes America exceptional. That's why they hate us so much, because individual liberty is the greatest threat to totalitarianism ever produced.
Great answer and great truth. You know, this we talk about all the different ways the world is at odds with each other, but the concept of collectivists who impose tyranny versus the right of the individual to live in freedom, you can't have that in the same society. One or the other idea must prevail.
Well, Dr. Bartlett broke the whole part of the COVID narrative, right? Because he was breaking, and you have other heroes who broke that COVID narrative, that scientific consensus, and now the truth is eventually coming out. Had that not happened, had we not had a court system, the three branches of government, we would have all been forced to take a shot. And that is economic warfare, because the way they enforced it was you'll get fined, or you'll lose your job, or you'll get kicked out of the military, all economic weapons.
Absolutely are. I do want to turn to talk about economic warfare in a minute, but I want a couple of summary points about what you had to say. The book, the title of the book, According to Plan, just a brilliant idea that please don't watch everything that's happening and assume it's all well-intentioned and innocently intentioned. Do not assume that bad consequences just were unforeseen or unintended, that actually we are watching a plan unfold in America to take down America. And it is a plan, it's an ideological attack, has many avenues, the institutions of education, all other many vehicles that were used to take down America, but they really were laid out, and we really are watching them happen. And where we are today, in 2022, where we have, you know, Biden agreed to be vice president under Obama, my view, Obama, maybe you could give Bernie Sanders some credit too, but the two of them at a national level kind of legitimized Marxist ideas, and the Democrat Party has been overtaken by them. The formerly, you know, Democrat and Republicans used to be that expression playing within the 40-yard lines, but they're not. I mean, today's Democrat Party is utterly embraced Marxism without saying so.
J&M Jewelry provides online jewelry appraisals that are convenient, secure, and affordable. Appraisals are usually completed within 48 hours and sent directly to your email. Contact us today or visit our website to use our appraisal request form. J&MJewelry.com.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com.
The Kelly Key easily converts your AR rifle to bolt action, allowing you to keep the rifle you love in assault weapon jurisdictions. The Kelly Key is a true fast drop-in solution. No permanent changes to your rifle. Import, transport, own, and have fun with your AR. Why the Kelly Key? Because a bolt action is not an assault weapon. Stay future ready from gun bans with a Kelly Key. The Kelly Key also lets you quickly and easily build your ideal hunting rifle, lets you build the quietest suppressed rifle, and benefits your long-range precision shooting. Available now at KellyKey.com with free shipping.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
I feel that Juvent is helping me to get better every day in every way.
That impact is what has been shown to help improve your bone density. Without that impact, you're missing a very important nutrient in your physical conditioning program.
The Juvent Micro Impact System allows the person to create more joint range of motion. Now I know there's a chance that nourishment can take place to that joint.
Get one of these.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package: emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones, we've got solar panels, and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because, of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts, and the power grid is just failing, you know, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
Capital punishment shows the world the true story of January 6, 2021. The event was years in the making, and the threat to the survival of America as we know it has never been greater. Not only is this film a must-see, but it's already one of the most censored films of all time. Just visit HisGlory.tv today to get your copy. Capital Punishment, everything they told you was a lie.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border, who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging, works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, you know, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian. in helping to keep our country and our communities safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
We're funding that with our investments in BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. If you own any of those funds, they're voting those principles on the boards and in the corporations. We instead tell people that they should promote LSV, liberty, security, and values. And how do you do that? Well, get a financial advisor that understands the difference between ESG and LSV and will redirect your investments that way and redirect your spending that way and redirect your giving that way. And the average investment advisor may say, I don't know how to do that. So we created an institute and we train advisors at Liberty University, the largest Christian online university in the country. Liberty University is training, and if we can train 10,000 financial advisors, stockbroker, CPA, financial advisor, insurance agent, if we can train 10,000 of those to redirect money, we'll change the world. This is something the left is not even close to being prepared for, divesting from the evil and investing in the good. And that's what we're training advisors to do. That's weaponizing your money.
I love that, and your ESG description on the G part about governance, the whole notion that BlackRock and others are basically forcing corporations, if you want to be able to be profitable, your board has to meet the following standards. It is so contrary to the whole idea of free markets, of a meritocracy where you're going to reward people to put them on the board because they are really good at whatever the business is that you're doing. You want to have them with the people most capable of leading a business to success, and instead they're saying, no, it's going to be, I mean, it is so contrary to the whole notion of capitalism and a free market economy.
And it's, they've institutionalized this. The NASDAQ, the National Association of Securities Dealers, you know, like NASDAQ listed, yep. They require that of companies now. You have to have a certain number of minorities, certain number of women, certain number of LGBTQ. And they'll adjust that over time. It starts off very small, camel nose under the tent, but there will come a time where they say that you have to have at least 50% women or at least 20% LGBTQ.
In your employment or in your board or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. It is the craziest thing. It is a social justice agenda. And again, it tears away at the fabric of normalcy in America, of families and of just the whole concept of a society where individuals live in freedom. It's simply mind-blowing that they've gotten this far with it. I actually remember a few years ago, Frank Gaffney was talking about BlackRock, and I can't remember the guy's name.
Larry Fink.
Yeah, Larry Fink. And
isn't he aptly named?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. If his middle name were like Pig and then Fink, no, okay. Anyway, but this is...
I think Rat would be a good middle name.
Oh, Rat would be good.
Larry Rat Fink.
Oh, that would be good. We should... Okay. I commend this book for our listeners. I just can't tell you how rich and full and persuasive and just an extraordinary book. But I do want to hit our other topics with you in this time we have before I have to let this audience people have questions. But one thing that is obviously dominating the news, it's FTX, it's this guy Samuel, I think it's
Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, and his cryptocurrency appears now a major Ponzi scheme scandal. Can you describe what this is? Because right, by the way, did you realize that they actually, among the things this guy has made all this money with, he is the second number two investor and supporter of Democrat causes right after George Soros.
Oh, yeah, $40 million. Yeah,
huge.
In this last cycle.
And he also donated, it's so weird, to Senator McConnell. Okay, now, why don't you tell us what is this whole deal with FTX and the cryptocurrency?
Well, FTX is a means of conducting transactions in cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. It's an add-on business to the idea of the blockchain and Bitcoin. And he created this, took it public, and was worth 20-some billion dollars.
This one guy.
Now he's worth less than $1 billion, probably negative net worth, because it was a fraud. And what they were doing was just shuffling money. But a lot of the money, if I understand correctly, and I have not researched this in detail, but I've read news reports that suggest that a lot of the money, the American money going into the Ukraine, went through FTX, and so it was a money laundering operation, potentially, for the politicians to take taxpayer dollars, supposedly supporting the Ukraine, and siphon off for the beyond his $40 million stated public overt contributions.
And money funneling its way right back from Ukraine to the pockets of Democrat Congressman and Mitch McConnell. Okay, So the FTX thing, and I will tell you, one frustration people have in modern America, it's hard to think who's going to investigate this with credibility and determination. It's the same thing with electronic election fraud, all sorts of issues where people are upset, but you feel concerned that the Department of Justice isn't really on the side of the American people.
They certainly don't want the truth out.
Exactly. And so who can investigate this and bring some consequence?
So I was looking, I was talking to my dad the other day, and he said, oh, did you know Bill Self, the coach at Kansas, has been suspended as the coach for 4 games because of recruiting violations? I said, really? I didn't know that. Bill Self used to coach at my alma mater, University of Tulsa, and I always thought he was a stand-up, decent guy, played at Oklahoma State, really terrific guy, and wow, he got suspended. So I looked it up. And you know why?
No.
Because the FBI did an investigation into the corruption of men's basketball. And I stopped and I thought, wow, that's where the FBI is going. You get handed a laptop, right? And the laptop has crime after crime after crime on it, and they've held it forever, and they cover it up and hide it because it's the president's son's laptop, at the time the candidate's son's laptop.
Right.
And they cover it. They don't have time to investigate that, but boy, they were looking at men's basketball, and as a result, Bill Self can't coach 4 games at Kansas. This is where the FBI is trying to justify their reason for existence by attacking pro-life people and showing up with guns blazing and attacking basketball coaches and looking at all sorts of things that are diverting to the public away from the attention of actual corruption, which we can document. Anybody can go look at the laptop. It's all over the internet. Hunter Biden has been caught doing all kinds of shady things, and it implicates his dad over and over and over.
10%
from Ukraine, Russia, and China. Exactly. The big guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is unbelievable. And it really, on a serious note, talk about the decline of America. As a lawyer, I really do feel like I deeply appreciate the concept of rule of law and equal justice under the law. And when you have a kind of, they're not just anomalies you just described, they're just outrageous hypocrisies of who gets investigated and who doesn't. You can start to feel this is what we used to mock banana republics for, or other countries that just didn't have a standard that applied to everyone. And it's part of the denigration of America, the destruction of America. Okay, I'm going to get to questions in just a moment. One other thing I wanted to say, CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, and this concept, we were talking, I think, before this show started about how a lot of people can think, well, this is just kind of modernizing the monetary system. You know, we originally had bartering, and so, you know, I grew corn, I'll trade you for some of the milk that your cows have, and we bartered, and that was a little bit inconvenient after a while. So you had to have other ways you exchange value. So you exchange value because we come up with money and dollars, and the belief a dollar symbolized something backed by gold for a while. And so people think, okay, well, it's just the next step. We're going to, instead of this inconvenient cash, or even credit cards in my wallet, we're just going to have a central bank and digital currency. And so it is talked about as a means of progress. And Biden did some executive order in February, I don't know when it was, but basically told the Fed they need to start working to develop this, to get it in place. And there's apparently even a trial run going on now.
Yeah, it's happening. Federal Reserve of Bank of New York is doing a trial run with a dozen different banks to issue and test digital currency.
So please describe, and number one, what that really means pragmatically, and then the second is, why is it a threat to our freedom?
Well, we have digital currency now. The vast majority of the commerce that we do is digital. It can be done with Apple Pay, you tap your phone, it can be done with your credit card, that just is electronic. It's ones and zeros on a computer somewhere, and the vast majority of it. But it is all based at some level on this, which is a Federal Reserve note. And the Federal Reserve note actually has a serial number on it, which is pretty cool. The difference between this being digitized, I deposit it in the bank and then I use it, is that this serial number, they know exactly if I pay you or where it goes, and they can track exactly this $20 bill or $20 of digital currency. And when they do that, they then have control. They can imagine if you receive this and the government decided that you weren't worthy to have it, and so they knew that serial number, and they said, that isn't valid. That's not good. We're not going to allow you to use it. Or they said, that serial number is owned by Kevin Freeman, and therefore, because his cholesterol tested too high, when he goes to the steakhouse, he can't use that to pay for a steak. Or they can say, you know what, we need to slow the economy down because it's a little too fast, like the Fed is doing now by raising interest. We'll have a brand new tool in our kit. And that is, we can make all numbers, all these serial numbers, we can make that money not good for 90 days to slow the economy down. Or they can speed it up and make it good immediately. Or they can say, Kevin, you live in Tyler, and because you live in Tyler, your money's only good in these zip codes. And outside of those zip codes, because we're going to keep you there, it's kind of a quarantine, you know, because of a disease or something. They have complete, call it programmable money, weaponized money. That's the difference between what they have now and what they want to have. And here's the other thing, is they don't even have to bother with a printing press. They just create it out of thin air, assign a unique number to it, track it, control it. They know everything about every transaction. You know, we're worried about the IRS knowing about $600 transactions and the bank has to report them. You put central bank digital currency in place, they don't need $600 limit. They can track everything everywhere all the time, know exactly what you're spending on, where you're giving it. They can take it out of your account and give it to somebody else's account in reparations. They can say you're the wrong skin color so you don't get money. Or you're the right skin color and your money's worth twice as much and they just automatically double it. It is complete control, central control of the economy. It is revelation type stuff with the mark of the beast. You can't buy or sell without it. It is the scariest thing that can possibly happen, and they're going to road test it right now. And by the way, this isn't a conspiracy theory. Everything I said that they could do with this, the Federal Reserve has said, wouldn't it be exciting? We can do this if we get this in place. They've admitted it.
Yeah, they see it as a plus. So really, the central bank digital currency is yet another tool along the road, taking away freedom to tyranny, to the governments in charge. They will know, they can control, they know what you do, where you spend and what you do, and they can control the value of it. They can limit your use of where and when you can use it. It's a tool of tyranny.
Complete tool of tyranny. Fortunately, the founders left us a little secret hidden in the Constitution we're hoping to exploit.
Actually, can you describe it in 2 minutes?
Basically, Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coins tender within the state. It gives Congress the ability to print money, coin money, and so forth, and states are not able to do that. So a state can't print their own money, they can't make a coin out of nickel and copper and gold and say this is worth so much, because the founders didn't want every state having their own currency, unless that currency was based exclusively on gold and silver, which is money. In the history of the world, gold and silver have always been money, and they created this little provision for transactional gold. And fortunately, in Texas, we have a Texas Bullion Depository where you can store gold. If we add to that a transactional capability that the internet, that digitization, the CBDC technology allows, we could apply it, guarantee privacy, allow you to have something backing your money. It's in the Constitution, and the federal government can't interfere with it. It is an enumerated power of a state to do this. It is our solution to the central bank digital currency at the state level, as so many of the solutions to fight back against federal tyranny are state powers. And that's what we need to do. We need to enact it. I've done a show on this. I've written on this extensively. I'm happy to talk to anybody about it. It is in the Constitution, and we have a Supreme Court ruling, Briscoe versus Bank of Kentucky, 1837, that says, yeah, a state can take in gold and silver and write certificates that can be used like currency.
Okay, so do we have a bill pending in the Texas legislature yet?
I hope so. If you know people in the Texas legislature, you tell them to get behind this. We colloquially call it the digital Texan, but it could be a digital Okie, or it could be a Floridian, or any other state can do this. This is our pushback to the Great Reset and the Federal Reserve.
Okay, so we have the opportunity for people in the audience to ask questions. The microphone's over here, and the two things I'll tell you, if you have a question, to raise your hand, and then if you have the microphone, speak right into it, because it has to go out not just in this room, but on air and speak right up. And while you're thinking about what your question is, I will just tell you one thing I want to mention. I hear people comment, and I say it myself, you're describing here what's happening to America, the infiltration of communist ideology, the taking down of many fundamental tenets of American freedom. How close are, I mean, I don't mean in years, but to my sense, the next few election cycles are, you cannot overstate their importance to reclaim America. And I wonder how urgent do you see all of this, how urgently?
Well, it's obviously very urgent because regardless of what you think of how the elections took place, once the Marxist communists take over a locality, they change the election rules to favor them so that they harvest ballots or they extend voting hours forever or they go into nursing homes or whatever they do. And the Biden administration went in on college campuses and set up federal money enrolling students on there. And then they use Google to convince the students that their viewpoint is right. And they take over a place so you never take it back. One exception was Virginia. But Colorado, Oregon, Washington, California, you look at these places that were once conservative states. And they've, you know, Ronald Reagan came from California. Yep. Once they take control, then it's almost impossible to take it back, and they're creeping across the nation. So if we don't stand now, America as we know is gone. This is our fight.
It is, and I harp on my show so often about election fraud and election security, and what you're describing is exactly right. The mindset of the leftists is, we are supposed to be in charge. We are supposed to rule. Almost anything justifies our path to getting there, including massive election fraud, which I believe explains the midterm outcome. But
well, once they get in power, it's no longer election fraud because they changed the rules. They used COVID to change the rules so that it's now legal, and they're just doing what's legal. And then the federal government, as soon as they take control of the federal government, they will pass, because Congress has the ability to oversee elections, they'll pass a law that enshrines. Now, the funny thing that happened is they thought they were actually going to gain ground. The Republicans thought they were going to gain ground. The Republicans are winning over traditional Democratic voting coalitions, and so they're having to go manufacture ballots from unfound places. And right now, they just kind of crashed, and we had a stalemate in the last election.
Yeah. I did see that, I think it's Mark Fincham, the Secretary of State candidate in Arizona, he's not giving up. Kerry Lake's not. I think in certain states it was, I agree with what you said. In certain states, I believe it went past that to just flat out, we're going to find a way to manipulate this. Kerry Lake in Arizona being a great example. She hasn't conceded yet, thank God. Okay, so we have questions. We have hands up. There you go.
Thank you, Kevin. This has been really informative. So I have a question about cryptocurrency with Texas. Right now, the Texas Blockchain Council is meeting in Austin, and the big proponents, big cheerleaders are Ted Cruz and Tan Parker, and then Governor Greg Abbott signed two bills trying to make Texas be a leader in cryptocurrency. So I see that as a way to usher in the global currency. Do you see the same?
Yeah, my thought is, number one, I don't believe cryptocurrency is actual currency. I believe what it is it's a blockchain technology, and it's a potential investment. But if you see Bitcoin goes from zero to $60,000 and then drops to $15,000 as it's done recently, in a relatively short period of time, that is not a stable currency. And so it will not function properly as a currency. And Texas, advance the technology. God help them, advance the technology. I think that's good. But it is not a monetary system that Texas can implement, because Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution says no state shall make anything but gold and silver coins tender within the state. And so we couldn't go on a cryptocurrency system here. If we want to, the federal government could shut it down like that. They can say this is interstate commerce and we control it, and they would stop it. So should Texas be a leader in developing cryptocurrency? Maybe so, because the Democratic Party, who's been leading it like Sam Bankman-Fried, has literally used it as a means of theft. And I don't know how else to describe it. Maybe it's not theft, maybe it's just a complete incompetence, but it collapsed completely. So I love the liberty and the freedom that comes with the anonymity, the privacy and all that, but we can implement that right now under the Constitution, and we don't have to have blockchain involved. It can just be gold and silver coins deposited in the state of Texas, and then they...
Take a stand against biased talk radio.
I'm going to take a strong stand against it.
And listen to